Welcome to the End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. The last few weeks, we've been answering listeners' questions about Lee Harvey Oswald's last 48 hours alive, most of which were spent at the Dallas Police Department. We answered questions about Lee Oswald's interrogations, his mysterious phone call to a possible CIA cutout while in jail. We also looked at Jack Ruby's stalking of Oswald at the police department and his actions on Sunday morning before he shot Oswald, and how he was able to enter the basement and get a clear shot off at Oswald. If you missed any of those episodes, go back and listen. There's some good information in there, and I appreciate all the great questions I've received from so many of our listeners. I intend this week to answer questions about evidence of a possible conspiracy involving Jack Ruby, but plans changed due to some developments last week. People often ask me, what and why is the CIA still hiding about JFK's assassination? Well, last week there was some major news that broke about what the CIA knew about Lee Harvey Oswald before the assassination, and a very important interview that everyone interested in this case needs to hear. So we will be covering that very important development this week. Jefferson Morley, former investigative reporter for the Washington Post, published a report on Tuesday, October 8th, detailing new information about the assassination of President Kennedy and the subsequent actions by the CIA that he alleges were part of efforts to mislead Congress. From interviews with a confidential source, aka a whistleblower, Morley contends that the CIA had video documentation of Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin who the Warren Commission says fatally shot Kennedy, taken in Mexico prior to the assassination. The source allegedly saw a film container at a CIA facility in Herndon, Virginia, labeled either Oswald in Mexico or Oswald in Mexico City, and dated September 1963. The facility housed other files related to the assassination, according to the source. The testimony of Morley's source contradicts the official record maintained by the intelligence agency. The CIA has contended that it did not have any photo or evidence of Oswald or knowledge of Oswald's whereabouts prior to the assassination of President Kennedy. This detail is significant. If the CIA possesses film or video that depicts JFK's accused assassin Lee Harvey Oswald in Mexico City, it would rewrite the JFK assassination story. The CIA's claims that its operatives did not photograph Oswald in Mexico City is less credible than ever. The agency's claim to the Warren Commission that its employees had only, quote, minimal knowledge of Oswald before JFK was killed has been called into question, most recently by the revelation last year that a CIA operations officer, Reuben Efron, reporting to counterintelligence chief James Angleton, had been reading Oswald's mail for 2 years before the assassination of Kennedy. The existence of hidden photographic imagery of Oswald in Mexico City might be related to a CIA operation involving Kennedy's accused killer that remains classified even today, 61 years after the shocking event. The whistleblower said they inadvertently came across a JFK document that seemed disturbing to them. The document was not part of the JFK records room in the CIA declassification center that he had visited. Rather, it was held in another agency storage facility. The document concerned the JFK investigation of the House Select Committee on Assassinations, known as the HSCA. The HSCA was created in 1976 when Congress reopened the investigation of Kennedy's murder amid revelations about CIA plots to assassinate foreign leaders. After a 3-year investigation, the committee concluded that, quote, in all probability, JFK had been caught in crossfire and killed by conspirators who could not be identified. The CIA told the House Select Committee on Assassinations that the agency had not obtained a photo of Oswald when he visited the Soviet embassy in Mexico City 6 weeks before the assassination. The congressional investigators doubted that claim after interviewing two retired CIA officers who said independently that Mexico City Station Chief Wynn Scott had shown them surveillance photos of Oswald. Their testimony led the committee to conclude that the CIA probably had obtained photos of Oswald in Mexico City. The whistleblower said they read a 40 to 50 page report produced by the Office of the CIA's Inspector General in the late 1970s. They said the document accessed whether the HSCA probe had compromised secret CIA operations. The classified IG report bothered the source because they felt it showed the intent to deceive the congressional investigators. It was a blueprint for how to hide things from the public and how to prevent investigative committees appointed by Congress from seeing documents that might incriminate offices of the government. The source believed the document provided a playbook to deter renewed investigative efforts in the House of Representatives on the JFK assassination. They conducted an investigation to see if they had succeeded in misleading the American public about Kennedy's assassination, and they concluded the lie had worked. No such document had been released in thousands of pages of materials made public since the 1990s, or in the JFK files declassified since 2017 on orders of President Trump and Biden. No such document is listed among the 3,648 JFK records held by the National Archives that still contain redacted passages. When asked about the credibility of his source, Morley insisted that he has no doubt the account is true. Quote, "This source is highly credible," end quote, Morley said. There's no question that he had security clearances, had the expertise in documents retrieval, had the expertise in analysis. Morley continues, quote, "Their account is one of the most important stories I have come across in 30 plus years of JFK reporting. A CIA whistleblower is a rare thing, especially in a controversial convoluted JFK story," end quote. The source asked not to be identified to forestall government retaliation. Morley believes his story is corroborated by a separate on-the-record interview with Andres Goyenechea, a former CIA employee who lives in Washington State. Goyenechea said his mother, Gretet Goyenechea, also took photos of Oswald from Mexico City prior to the assassination while serving as base chief for the agency in Mexico City. She had been assigned to surveillance over the Soviet embassy there. Her code name, as documented in the Kennedy files, was Lemke-14. Morley believes the possibility of video's existence, along with the other 50-page review, would clearly run counter to the John F. Kennedy Assassination Records Collection Act of 1992. The law mandated that all documents directly relevant to the assassination be made public by October 2017. Morley believes the current political climate and general skepticism towards many of the country's institutions may prove useful to pressure the CIA into releasing files related to the JFK assassination, which remains unavailable to the public. The fact that JFK's assassination still figures in campaign disclosure is a testament to the legacy of political violence in America. 6 decades after the attack in Dallas that claimed Kennedy's life and killing his evolving policy of winding down the nuclear arms race and Cold War conflicts in Cuba and Vietnam, JFK's assassination still matters somehow. The two recent attempts on the life of former President Donald Trump have only heightened interest in assassinations, the nature of conspiracies, the capabilities of law enforcement, and the need for transparency and accountability. Some lament the influence of, quote, conspiracy theorists. Others point to abundant evidence of high-level wrongdoing in JFK's assassination and speculate about the official complicity in the attempts on Trump's life. Today's headlines explain why an ancient event like JFK's murder is still relevant to our politics. Here's Jefferson Morley last week on the Washington, D.C. morning show Rising, speaking about the whistleblower and the newly discovered information.
There's new evidence that the CIA knew of President John F. Kennedy's assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, at least 2 years before he allegedly killed the former commander-in-chief. In a new Substack post, independent journalist and author Jefferson Morley writes about an unnamed source's account of having discovered explosive documents while visiting the CIA declassification center.
Morley details how the sources inadvertently came across a JFK file that seemed to show the CIA intended to deceive the House Select Committee on Assassinations, known as the HSCA, as it investigated the JFK assassination. In his post on Substack, Morley writes, quote, "It was a blueprint for how to hide things from the public and how to prevent investigative committees appointed by Congress from seeing documents that might incriminate offices of the government." Imagine that. Here to discuss this revelation is Jefferson Morley, author of several books about the CIA. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Explain it in greater detail. What is the scoop here? What is this room? What is this file? Lay it out for us.
The source who approached me told me about the CIA's file room that they maintain at an office in Herndon, Virginia, and that he had seen this document about the House Select Committee on Assassinations. I've been writing about the CIA for 3 decades. I've been writing about the JFK files since they first started coming out in the 1990s. And this is the most significant story that I've ever run across. Because what it tells us is the CIA is still hiding information related to Lee Harvey Oswald and related to sensitive CIA operations in 1963 around Oswald. Now, what do those operations involve? We don't know because there's so much secrecy involved. But this story gives us a little glimpse behind the curtain. And what it shows us is there are still sensitive CIA operations related to JFK's assassination that are out of public view. And, you know, it's not supposed to be that way. We have a law on the books, very strong, good law.
I was going to say, wasn't there supposed to be this recent declassification of all of the documents relating to that?
That was a product of the 1992 JFK Records Act, which mandated that the government review and release all of its assassination-related material. And over the last 30 years, a whole lot has come into the record, and it's giving us a whole new understanding of the JFK assassination story and the role of the CIA in it.
Is this because this is an issue of national security? I'm sure all of our viewers have probably watched the movies, read the books, seen all the conspiracies online. But there's a question of whether or not the USSR was involved, obviously Cuba. There's conversations about the mafia. But, you know, oftentimes when they redact information or don't release it, it's a national security issue. Does it still...
Or they say it's a national security issue.
Yes.
Well, then why would you withhold it? You know?
And it was interesting when I asked the CIA for comment, they did not deny anything in this that I reported. In this, not about the document and not about the location of the JFK file room. So that gave me more confidence. That gives me a lot of confidence that the story's right. They don't have access to an easy way to deflect this. What we're talking about is something very real. And they use the national security justification to keep this stuff off limits. But, you know, the law is very clear. And when the CIA responded, they said, you know, we've released all the records directly related to the assassination. That's not the law. The law says the government has to release all assassination-related records. And the definition of assassination-related in the 1992 Records Act and in the way it was implemented in the 1990s is very broad. And it includes records directly related to the assassination, but it also includes records indirectly related to the assassination. So what the CIA is saying is we get to decide which JFK records get made public. And that's wrong. The law is very clear. They don't get to decide. The law decides.
And just to be clear, these are records that predate the assassination or records of knowledge of, awareness of Oswald that U.S. authorities might have had because of his trip to Russia, because of his ties to Cuba.
Yes.
That he was on, the theory being he was on their radar, they were paying some level of attention to him, and yet this catastrophe still happened.
And the background to my story is the books that I've written on the CIA, not conspiracy books about the JFK assassination. What the JFK's assassination looked like inside the CIA to the very top people. Nobody cares what Morley's theory is. What top people in the CIA thought, that's really interesting. And this story is another sign that Oswald was very well known to the top level of the CIA. They'd been watching him for 4 years, not two. From 1959 to 1963, Oswald's whereabouts, his motivations, his political contacts, his personal life were all monitored by top CIA officials. The CIA denied all of this to the Warren Commission and to investigators, and they said, we didn't really know much about him. My story shows that that's just a cover story. They knew a whole lot about him, and they were trying to keep it away from the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which was starting to ask tough questions about, we want to see some of these records of these sensitive operations involving Oswald in 1963. And the CIA was quite hostile. The document that the source described to me shows, shows that they intended to deceive Congress, they intended not to share all the information at their disposal, and that they were pleased that Congress hadn't figured it out.
So during that time period, Oswald was in Mexico City, where, yes, just a reminder of history, that's where Fidel Castro trained with Che. They, yes, were in that cafe, that famous cafe. They would meet, yeah, every day. I've been there. It's kind of cool. and of course, they trained to invade, yeah, you know, Cuba, and of course, was miserable failure at first, and evolved into success. Why would Oswald be there training or meeting with them in Cuba? Like, let's just go back and through this theory of why that was significant to the CIA.
Oswald showed up and visited the Cuban consulate and the Soviet embassy in Mexico City about 6 weeks before President Kennedy was assassinated. Both of those facilities were under tight surveillance by the CIA. In the Soviet embassy, there were two cameras pointed at the front gate. At the Cuban consulate, there was a pulse camera pointed at the door. So whenever that door opened, they took pictures. Very sophisticated, pervasive, redundant photo surveillance system. Yet the CIA told the Warren Commission, we didn't get any photographs of him.
That just couldn't be true.
No, it's not true. And Wynn Scott, the subject of my first book, wrote in an unpublished memoir that it was not true. He read the Warren Commission and he said, no, that's not true. We had that embassy totally covered. He was very proud and he didn't want anybody to think that he had missed a presidential assassin. No, Wynn Scott was a very powerful guy, one of the best CIA stations in the world. He was adamant. And later, two CIA people were interviewed by Congress, and they said Wynn Scott had shown them photographs, surveillance photographs of Oswald. So the House Select Committee on Assassinations said in 1979 that the CIA story wasn't true and that the CIA probably had obtained photographs of Oswald. Now, I'll tell you one more thing. I reported last year, I found a guy who worked on that photo surveillance base, a man named Andres Goyenechea. And we figured out his name from some declassified records that were only declassified a year or two ago. I found Andres living in Washington State, and he told me the story of this photo surveillance base, which was run by his mother. His mother was the man who manned the camera most of the time. He was a university student at the time. He would come home and relieve her. She would go run her errands or do that. Andres Goyenechea told me that his mother told him, I took Oswald's picture coming and going.
No.
And she remembered the face very clearly. She attached no significance to it. But Andres said, we knew very well who was an American, who was a Russian, we'd been doing it for years. We knew all the people who worked in that embassy. So after the assassination, when Greta Goyenechea saw Oswald, she told her son, yeah, I took his picture coming and going. So that's another nail in the coffin of the CIA's cover story that we didn't really get a photo of him.
So I was just going to say, this is, however many years ago the assassination was, now 60 years, and we're still just getting, we haven't gotten all of the information.
It's incredible.
It makes you probably pessimistic about what is going on now. For instance, we have a lot of questions about COVID, or take any subject, COVID origins. There were some assassination attempts against Donald Trump in just the last month. There, for COVID specifically, there was Congress ordered declassification of a lot of documents. President Biden signed it. What was actually declassified was basically a press release saying we don't really know anything. There's no way that's true. The FBI and the Energy Department have made different So is it going to take 60 or 80 or 100 years? In the Kennedy case, so many of the people who might want to hide something, they're dead by now, and we still can't get the information.
But isn't that because this is the big question here that I'm thinking is this just because the CIA messed up and they don't want to show that they had weaknesses, or maybe even people who are aware and look the other way? Related to also, like you had mentioned before we came on, that Nixon had gone after the CIA, that he tried to blackmail them.
Yeah, so in my third book, which came out in 2022, Scorpion's Dance, Richard Nixon has a very tense meeting with Dick Helms, the director of the CIA, in 1971. And Nixon is bugging Helms for some secret documents about the Bay of Pigs. And like, why is the Bay of Pigs? It was like 10 years after the Bay of Pigs invasion, which failed, as you said. And you hear Nixon on the tape when asked why, he says, the who shot John angle. Mm. And he says that to the CIA. Now, Dick Helms understood very well what that meant, which was he was thinking it was at least possible that the CIA was involved. And so he wanted to know more from CIA records about, the CIA's role in the events of 1963. Right after Watergate, when the burglars are arrested, Nixon says to his aides, get Helms in here and read him the Riot Act and tell him that if he doesn't get on board with, quashing this story about the White House burglars, it's going to blow up the whole Bay of Pigs thing. Dick Helms blows up because he understands very well that Nixon is blackmailing him and saying, you go along with me or else something might come out about the CIA and JFK. That is the moment when Richard Nixon and Richard Helms part ways. Up until that point, they had been pretty good partners, but Helms understood after that that Nixon was his enemy and that Nixon would resort to something like that to kind of prevail in their personal
like
relationship.
Trump and Pompeo.
I think it's often hard to tell whether there's some genuine, they're trying to hide something because there's complicity, or there's just, they're so practiced, you know, they being the authority figures in law enforcement and CIA and national security, they're so practiced at deception, they would redact, you know, a grocery store list just out of habit.
Yes.
So it could be because it's not malicious and they're hiding something, they're just so, they have so much practice at doing that now, it's second nature.
A secret agency is going to keep secrets, right? And especially sensitive secrets.
Yeah.
So a couple of points. One, the law is very clear. The CIA may say that, but if it's an assassination-related record, it has to be made public. And to back to your earlier point, you know, we do have this crisis of legitimacy in government. People just don't believe government statements. And that traces back to the Warren Commission and the, you know, not very credible story that they told about a lone gunman who the CIA knew nothing about. That's a cover story, okay? They knew a lot about him. They followed him all the way around the world, and they followed him right to Dealey Plaza. What was going on? I don't know. I was in kindergarten at the time, right? I mean, and we can speculate, and, you know, but the point is, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't want to speculate. It's the CIA's job to make the documents available.
Yeah.
And the importance of my story here is they seem not to have done that in this case.
One quick question before we wrap. You mentioned Edward Snowden in this.
Yes.
And can you give us context around that?
Well, you know, there's a live, living person, a JFK whistleblower. So how does he compare to other? Well, he's not a Snowden who went in and copied things and gave the files to reporters. I mean, he's like Snowden in that he's a citizen and he saw something that bothered him and thought that it should come out. So that, you know, in that way. But no, he's the source is not a Snowden. He's not a Julian Assange who's trying to tear down the world ruling class. He's not a deep throat, you know, a guy guiding because he wants to advance his political ambitions. I checked the source out very carefully. The source is highly credible, and the source is just concerned that the law is not being followed. Mm-hmm. This record should be public. That's what he says. I agree.
Jefferson Morley, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. Also this week, I'd like to announce that I'll be speaking at the Citizens Against Political Assassinations, or otherwise known as CAPA, conference in Dallas in November. If you'd like to get a signed copy of my book or just meet and talk about the case, I'd love to see you there in November. The conference runs from Friday, November 22nd to Sunday, November 24th. I will be speaking about my book, The End of Innocence, and also I'll be speaking about the presence of professional assassins in Dealey Plaza the day President Kennedy was killed. I'll also be speaking about a second arrest in the Texas Theater that day. You could get tickets for the conference at www.capa-us.org. Hope to see you there.